Scripture reading this morning is from Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
We as a church are very blessed to have well over 70, let me say that again, 70 students on our roll. Can you believe the number? We have over 70 on our roll. Now, this is a huge blessing, and this goes from our youngest to our graduates, but we have 70. And obviously not all of them attend on a regular basis, but that's a good number for this size congregation, I think. And I want to start by saying that we need to recognize how blessed we are with this number of students. At the start of the school year, we have the apple blessings, and we encourage people to pick up the little magnetic apples to be praying for that particular student throughout the school year. And I don't know if you've picked one up or if you remember to be praying for your student or students. Some of you like to go above and beyond and pick up more than one, which is a great thing, and I encourage that. But not everybody, not all students are blessed to have a church family like us. Not all students are blessed to be able to be a part of a program like we talked about earlier at Impact. Not all students have the ability to be loved on like we provide. Unfortunately, there are many people in foster care, many children in foster care. In fact, I'm going to throw some numbers out there. On any given day, there are nearly 443,000 children in foster care in the United States alone. In 2017, more than 690,000 children spent time in foster care. On average, children remain in the state's care for nearly 2 years, and 6% of them in foster care have languished there for 5 or more years. Despite the common perception that the majority of children in foster care are very young, the average age of kids entering foster care is 8. 1/3 of children in 2017 entering the United States foster care were young people of color. While most children in foster care live in a family setting, a substantially minority, 11%, live in institutions or group homes. In 2017, more than 69,000 children whose mothers and fathers' parental rights had been legally terminated were waiting to be adopted. And the information goes on. A major part of the foster care, something that we may not want to recognize, and it's not part of the plan, but this is the broken world we live in. It is estimated that up to 40.3 million people around the world are being trafficked for sex. And I don't know about you, but that hurts. That's a lot of people. And most of them start off from foster care, from not being wanted. Let's put it that way. Sex trafficking is one of the world's fastest-growing criminal industries. Trafficking generates an estimated $150 billion a year. Children are particularly vulnerable to exploitation, especially children connected to the child welfare system. In the U.S., 60% of domestic child trafficking victims have a history in the child welfare system. Traffickers target youth in foster care because of their increased vulnerability due to a lack of family and emotional relationship and support. 74% of children trafficking cases involved sex trafficking, and the majority of those involved pimp-controlled prostitution. Again, all this information is online, and this is heartbreaking. But this is the world we live in. This is the world that so many of us turn a blind eye to. So when Alan gave me the topic, God's vision for children, he said, "You're the youth minister, it's a good topic for you to cover." I wanted to start with something that got your attention. And I hope those numbers, that information, wakes you up. Now, we're going to be looking at a few angles with this. But let's start off by understanding we do live in a very broken world. And when we come here, we like to put on this face, and I've told you this many times, that things are perfect in our life. Church is a place where we can feel whole. But we live in a broken world. We are broken people. And we need to acknowledge that. Our Bible reading this morning came from the book of Mark, Mark chapter 10. And I appreciate Chad reading that this morning. Jesus opened his arms to everyone. The sick, the desperate, those who had plenty and those who had little. People wanting their children to know Jesus. These adults, these parents, saying, "You need to know who this Jesus is." And some of us are just like that. "My child, I want you to know who Jesus is, because he will touch your life in a way that no one else can." And yet his followers, his disciples, his closest friends turned them away thinking, "Jesus doesn't have time for them." And some things don't change over time. Many people will judge a church on how the youth or the children's program is run by its appearance. If the room is dark, is a dark hole that has clearly not been cared for, then they'll decide, "Well, we're not going to come back." And that kind of makes sense, right? If we have a nice, clean, friendly environment, well, the kids are going to enjoy that. And they're going to want to come back. And we've worked really hard for the nursery and Praise Kids, the youth program, to be appealing. But it's not just the looks. We're wanting our students to know Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus, to invite him into their heart and live for him. And no matter how nice a place looks, that shouldn't be what determines whether the teaching of Jesus is being taught or not. I remember seeing this next picture on the screen years and years ago. No matter how old you are, no matter how tough you think you are, if a toddler hands you their phone ringing, if a toddler hands you their ringing toy phone, you're going to answer it. It may even be a stick, and they'll say, "It's for you," and you're going to grab that stick, and you're going to answer it. How many of you have done that? Yeah? And it's funny, it doesn't matter how manly you are, right, men? You're still going to answer, "Hello? Oh, it's for you," right? And so we always answer it. And they don't know I'm going to do this, but I really want to recognize three of our graduates. Kevin, Jaden, and Christopher, y'all stand up for just a second. These guys are three of our leaders in the youth group. They've just graduated, and they have taken in Zoe as one of their own. They are not afraid to be men in the church by welcoming babies into their arms. Thank you, guys. And I want to recognize these guys, because at that age, I remember being, I'm not going near kids. No, that's not cool. I was never cool, but I mean, that's not the point. Maybe that was my problem. And so these graduates, they, from day one, I'll hold Zoe. And as a dad, that is just amazing, knowing our students love our children. And parents, that speaks volumes for you guys as well. So thank you. But I want to recognize these, because no matter how old you are, no matter what age you are, what stage of life you're in, let these be your example that it's cool to look after the little ones. In the same way as it may be uncool for 18 and 19-year-olds to want to hold a baby, uncool, you'll answer the phone. The thing is, it doesn't matter what we've done in God's eyes or how much of a hot mess that we feel. We may think that nothing or no one can love us the way we are. We may wake up looking like this, and we may feel like we are a mess, but that's what God sees. God, just take me, hold me. Our hair may be matted, we may have drool lines or pillow marks on our face, and it doesn't matter. Think about how there's not a single part in your child's life that isn't earth-shatteringly beautiful. Not a single hair or mole or imperfection. Suffice to say, your child's beauty wrecks you. God feels the same way about you. God feels the same way about you. So it doesn't matter what you've looked like, what you've done, how you feel. And I'm sorry, but I think that is cute. That's selfish, I know, bias, whatever. But that is cute. And that's how God sees us. God sees us reaching up to him. We are his children. I was going to do a BibleGateway.com search on how many times the word child or children came up, but I forgot to do that. But there's so much. Children are mentioned so many times, and he refers to us as his children. Being a descendant of Abraham, the Israelites thought was, well, I'm a child of Abraham. That's not what makes you a child of God. In fact, Romans 9, it talks about you say you're a child of Abraham, but in fact, it's actually if you're a descendant of Isaac. And then Jesus came and opened it up to all of us. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how you feel or what you've done. God wants you to be reaching up to him as his child. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before you in the name of your one and only Son, Jesus, the firstborn. I'm reminded that your name is above all other names, and it is above the name of any other problem, any kind of addiction, any kind of lostness or emptiness. And this morning we speak in the name of Jesus over every family unit that is represented here and over all the children and grandchildren that are represented here. And we pray for our children this morning. We pray for the kids in our nation, the kids over all the world, because they have challenges today that we didn't have 20, 30, or even 40 years ago. And God, I pray that you would raise up and birth spiritual heroes for them. People they can look to that have integrity, that have been living right lives and say, I want to be like that. God, help each of us as parents to be those heroes. Help us to be good examples. God, never let us tell them what to do, but to find ourselves never doing it ourselves. Forgive us for any mistakes that we've made in raising our children. We know that we're imperfect, and we come into parenthood with our own forms of dysfunction, and it takes time to heal. And in the process, sometimes we don't do everything just right, but we thank you that you can overcome all that. So I pray for our children. I pray for our sick children to be healed. I pray for the lost kids to be saved. I pray for the confused to have peace of mind. I pray that they find their place in life and in society and not wander or waste the years of their life. I pray for the children who are broken and have no confidence in who they are, insecure. And I pray that if they don't like who they are, that you find them and help them know how to love themselves and find people to love on them. Today we ask that you open a new vial and pour out on each parent here a fresh anointing of hope and renewed vision, that they would not just see what is today, but they see what can be tomorrow. And we pray that each child will have a victory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to speak for just a moment to the children in this room. There's a passage that is very familiar to us from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it reads this. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And most of the time as kids, we like to stop it there. Right? You can't look down on me because I'm young. It says that in the Bible. But let's carry on reading. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. If you're considered a child, if you're a minor, I want you to be listening to this for just a second. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. I'll carry on this passage in just a second. Don't let them look down on you because you're young, but set the example for the believers. That means your mom and dad, those who are in this room here, the believers. You have a responsibility for them to not look down on you. You have to set the example and show your parents sometimes what is right and wrong. And it's okay to say, Mom, I don't think you're supposed to do that. Dad, I don't think you're supposed to say that. And parents, it's our responsibility to listen to that. They see our actions and our reactions. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example. Do not neglect your gift. Each one of you has a gift. And sometimes you don't know what that gift is, but you will find it. Whether it's art, whether it's reading, whether it's debates, whether it's music, something completely random like rock climbing, which you can do a whole lot in this area for, right? That was a joke. But you've also been given a gift, and that gift is Jesus. Jesus loves you unconditionally, and he wants you to live a life with him. And it goes on, carrying on in the passage. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. As a child, I understand this is kind of intimidating, but you have the chance of bringing other people to Jesus. We often like to put that on the adults, don't we? But you have friends in school that mom and dad will never get to know. You have the responsibility of reaching out to those people at school. You are the ones who can save yourself and others. So children, no matter how young or old you want to be considered as a child, you have a responsibility. And I challenge you to that. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Students, I challenge you to not conform to this world. Be different. Let the light of Jesus shine through you. The next slide is always a little trippy for many people. And this is what I mean by not conforming. The picture is staying still, but as you look at it, it looks like it's moving. Stand firm in your faith. And as you stand firm, people will see you grow. And that's the movement that you're seeing. You are standing firm, but you can grow. You can become something greater than you've ever imagined. Now, kids, I don't want you to switch off, but I'm going to switch the switch our thought process for a minute for just to our adults. But again, you have a responsibility, kids, so you can also listen to this and realize that there is something you can take from this. In Proverbs chapter 22, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." I've always had a hard time with this because I've known people, friends of mine, who grew up in the church, had the same teachings as me, and they're no longer in the church. And I'm sure we all know somebody who grew up in the church and no longer has a faith. So I've always had a hard time with this. I'm just being open with you, because I don't have answers for that. I don't. But there's nothing wrong in trying. In fact, our next passage comes from Deuteronomy, and we heard this a few weeks ago when Eric Fridge was here. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is unique. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, or when you drive along the road these days. When you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates." This is how we train a child in the way he should go. By talking about it. By living it. By making it be a part of everything we do. I always thought it would be easy being a parent. I mean, as a kid, I didn't want to be a parent. I thought kids, like I said. But I thought it would be easier than it is. And I learned that very quickly. And I have a whole lot of respect for all parents now. I'm not looking forward to having teenagers at all. But we still love our kids, don't we? And when they start driving and having their own freedom, I've noticed parents say, "Oh, I've not seen my child all week." They go to school, go straight to work, and I'm in bed before they get home. But I challenge you to find a way to talk about the scriptures, what they learned in Bible class, what they learned at school, and how can you apply these things into your day-to-day life? How do we work the scripture that we should be reading on a daily basis into our families? And children, I challenge you, when you learn something in Bible class, tell your parents, tell your family, this is what we did in Bible class, this is what we learned. Whether the teacher was great or not so great, tell them what you learned. Parents, tell your kids what you learned. Find a memory verse for a quarter, 3 months, and work on it as a family. Something simple, maybe, to start with, and then work up. Maybe learn the Psalm chapter 23, the Lord's my shepherd. Be in the Word together. Study together. So how do we step into God's vision for children? First of all, God designed children to be a blessing. We are blessed with our children. There's nothing greater than having a child run up to you, ready to be picked up. And as they get older, they may kind of shun away from that a little bit, or a whole lot. But our kids are a blessing. And most of the time, I've noticed they may distance themselves for a while, but then they want to come back. You will always be mom and dad, aunt and uncle, grandma, grandpa. They will always come back to you. Get through these tough times for those good times. Children are designed to be a blessing. This next one is actually a repeat of last week. God's provision and protection are newly revealed with each step. Each step of our life, we change, our kids change. Lisa and I are just dealing with baby steps right now, literally. And we're learning. They don't give you a manual on what to do when the baby is first plopped on you, right? You're like, oh, it's my responsibility now. And you have to learn. You have to grow. You learn from each other. You learn from your mistakes and your celebrations. And as your child grows, you grow with them. And you protect them. You want to provide for them. And God is constantly protecting and providing for both you and your child. And so God's provision and protection are newly revealed with each step. And finally, we are a spiritual family. We, as a church, have a responsibility to our students. If you are not involved in any form of ministry here, I challenge you to get involved with children or youth. There's no harder ministry than children and youth, because these things are going on all the time, year round. We have Praise Kids, we have Stage 2, we have VBS, we have Lillian's here for the children's program this summer. And that's just the kids' stuff, and that's year round. If you are not involved in any of these things, not to mention our regular Bible class time, I challenge you to be involved, because you are spiritual parents, whether you like it or not, because these kids are looking to each one of you. You have a responsibility to these students. And let's face it, every so often, us parents need a break. And to be able to lean in on our church family is what we need. We are a family, a spiritual family, so we lean in on each other. So the invitation is a bold one. The invitation is a challenge. And I invite you and I challenge you to be an active role in the lives of our children. Not just teaching about Jesus, but to be living Jesus. If you're not involved in one of these ministries or any of the ministries that this congregation has to offer, I challenge you to do more than just be here Sunday mornings. You will be blessed, and others will be blessed too. If you want to help with Praise Kids Stage 2, if you have any idea what these things are, if you don't have any idea of what these things are, we can tell you about it and the fun you can have with it. The youth ministry is always looking for people to help with different things, to chaperone events, to just be present. There's a model called the one-eared Mickey Mouse model. And if you've ever seen Mickey Mouse, he has this round face, right? And then he has this ear that's almost disconnected, but it's just about touching. And that's often the way that children's and youth ministries are seen. They're a part of the church. They're connected to the church, but we like to keep them a little distant. And I challenge you to bring them in. Make them be the center of this church. And that can only happen if everyone is involved. So if you're here today, I promise you, you have been watched. There are kids sitting here watching you. Whether you like it or not, you're being an example. So why not be a little more active about it? So as we stand and sing our invitation song, I challenge you and I invite you to be a part of something greater than what you already are. Be a part of our kids' lives. Touch them. Touch their hearts and let them grow from you.
Amen.